Hi, you're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website, www.lmc.org.au.
Hello, everyone. Hi, how we doing? Doing all right? Why are you laughing? No, that's right. Cool, we're going good. Great weather today. Yeah, let's talk about the weather while I get ready. Awesome. But seriously, great weather, right? Cool. So, my name's Julia, if you guys don't know me. I thought I'd just break the ice a little bit for my sake more than yours. I'm the receptionist here at LMC. I work down there in the LMC office, and I thought I'd share with you one insight into the office culture. So, I'm at the desk every day. I work full-time, and I see all the amazing staff come and go throughout the week. And I get asked a lot of questions by the staff. Stuff like, why isn't the printer working? Do you know what's happening with this event that you're not involved in? Or why isn't the website working? Or where are the tissues? Or my most favourite is, whose donuts are those in the kitchen? Usually Chris's. But there's one question I get asked the most, and if I've told you about this before, just keep it to yourself. But I get asked this question without fail every Tuesday and Thursday and Friday. And I get asked it multiple times throughout the day, sometimes even on a Wednesday, which is funny, because Wednesday is right. So what do you think? Have a think. Don't call it out, because give me the satisfaction of telling you. What do you think this question is that I get asked continuously multiple times each day? Where's Andy? Where's Andy? Where did Andy go? Is Andy in his office? Is Andy in the kitchen? Is Andy upstairs? Did Andy go outside? Did Andy leave? Is Andy coming back? Where's Andy? Seriously, I'm not even joking. And the reason why it's funny on Wednesdays is because that's Andy's day off. And so you get people who come in and who know when his day off is, and they still ask, where's Andy today? He's having a break from you. No. Anyway, so tonight I'll be speaking on where's Andy? No. The fear of God. Ah, the ice has been broken. Yes, great. So I was really intrigued with this concept. Sorry, I just looked at my mom. Shh, it's okay. Shh, it's all right. So I was really intrigued with this concept of the fear of God, and fear linked with a loving God. And I thought, it sounds complicated to me, and do I know what it means, and would I be able to explain it to someone or teach it to someone? So we're going to talk about the fear of God and what it means, and we're going to talk about how does it outwork in our lives. So before we do that, let's just pray. Lord God, I just thank you so much for the opportunity to be here tonight, Lord God. Lord, we thank you for church. We thank you for church family and community. Lord, we just pray that you will just be with us tonight as we journey through your word. Lord God, we know that your word is good, and we want to receive that goodness tonight and receive that truth. So, Lord God, open our ears and open our hearts, Lord God, and just be with me as I speak, Lord God. Just thank you, Lord Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. So we're going to look at a story of a man in the Bible who had no fear of God. And so it's Exodus 9, verses 13 to 34. And this is a story of Moses and the Israelites. But the man I want to focus on is Pharaoh, who was the king of Egypt at that time. And so the Israelites were God's people. They were good people. But Pharaoh was keeping the Israelites as slaves to the Egyptians. But it finally came a time when God said to Moses that he was going to play a vital role in setting the Israelites free from the Egyptians and taking them to the promised land. So at this point in chapter 9, Moses has asked Pharaoh to let his people go seven times. And each time Pharaoh denied or said no. And each time or six times, God has brought chaos to Egypt with a plague of some sort because of Pharaoh's sin. So God has said to Moses, go to Pharaoh and tell him again to let my people go so that they may serve me. And if you disobey me, I will send a hailstorm and it will destroy everything in your fields. And so God said, send word to Pharaoh to tell his servants, to bring their slaves and their livestock inside into shelter away from the storm. So we're going to read along from verse 20. So feel free to read with me. Then whoever feared the word of the Lord among the servants of Pharaoh hurried his slaves and his livestock into the houses. But whoever did not pay attention to the word of the Lord left his slaves and his livestock in the field. And from verse 25, the hail struck down everything that was in the field in all the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And the hail struck down every plant of the field and broke every tree of the field. Only in the land of Goshen, where the people of Israel were, was there no hail. So it goes on to say that Pharaoh realized he and his people had sinned against God, and he pleaded with God and Moses to stop the hail. And so Moses stretched out his hand and the hailstorm ceased. But in verse 34 we read, when Pharaoh saw that the rain and the hail and the thunder had ceased, he sinned yet again and hardened his heart, he and his servants. So in verse 20 we read that some slaves took caution and were wise because they feared the word of the Lord sent from Moses. They believed that it was true, that God wasn't playing games because of the previous, you know, 6-7 times that God had delivered his word through Moses. They considered his word to be truth. They believed it, and so they did what God asked of them. So they called their slaves and their livestock indoors away from the storm into safety. But those who didn't care, those who didn't fear the word of the Lord, who didn't believe that what God said was true, their livestock and their slaves were caught up in the storm. So in this story, fear of God is what saved people. Those people were wise to listen to the word of God. They obeyed the word, and this brought about the blessing of safety. So the word fear, we have like our own modern day, I guess, understanding of what fear means. And generally we use the word when we're talking about being afraid. We say, what are you scared of? What are you afraid of? Do you have a fear of moths? Do you have a fear of spiders? Or we say, you know, don't let this person or this situation instill fear into you. We don't want the fear. No fear. We don't want to let the fear get in. And we don't want to be terrorized by anyone or anything. Right? Like this is right. So generally in churches we talk about fear of the world or of the enemy, or we talk about worry and anxiety, and we talk about how love casts out all fear. This is good, this is true, this is relevant. But when we talk about fear of man, or we talk about fear of moths, or we talk about irrational fears, they mean something very different to the fear of God because they produce different things. The outworking of fear of man can be compromised. You know, compromise our faith because we're afraid of what others think of us. The outworking of fear of man can be manipulation or identity issues, always trying to please people. It can look like success, but if you build your life on the fear of man, ultimately you will set yourself up to fail in one way, shape, or another. A fear of moths or a fear of spiders can, or, you know, an irrational fear or something can be crippling to your life. But a fear of God, the Bible says that it brings wisdom, it brings favor, it brings blessing, it benefits and adds to your life. The fear of God doesn't cripple you like any other fear would. So fear of God really is something to be understood and something to be accepted and embraced into our Christian life and not rejected as we would with other fears. So let's look at some scripture about the fear of God. Proverbs 9:10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Psalm 128, verse 1 says, blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. Proverbs 22, verse 4 says, the reward of humility and the fear of the Lord are riches, honor, and life. And Jeremiah 32 verse 40 says, I will make with them an everlasting covenant that I will not turn away from doing good to them, and I will put the fear of me in their hearts that they may not turn from me. So we'll look at these scriptures again a little bit later, but just from reading them now, we can see that the fear of God has a real depth of meaning and outworking. In the Merriam-Webster dictionary, and like I would just say dictionary, but sometimes Merriam-Webster sort of sounds a bit more fancy, doesn't it? Because it's older or something like that. But it is older. It said like 1828 on the website. But one of the definitions of fear is to have a reverential awe. And it uses the example, fear God. So it is actually still, you know, I guess a definition of fear. I also looked up the definition of the phrase fear of the Lord used in Proverbs 9:10. And one commentary said, fear of the Lord is used as defining true devotion to God. It is fear joined with love and hope, and therefore not a slavish dread, but rather affectionate. It is reverence and deep respect. So the fear of God defines true devotion. It's reverential trust in God and commitment to his revealed word. The commentary went on to say, a holy fear is enjoined in the New Testament as a preventative of carelessness in religion and as an incentive to humble repentance and obedience. So the fear of God prevents carelessness in your faith, in our faith, and it brings us to a humble position before God, accepting his authority in our lives. Having a godly fear and a godly wisdom is a prevention to sin. So to fear God means to, to show reverence or deep respect and honour to God. I think I have a little list there. It's being in awe of God, but not just for the sake of like a feeling of amazement. It calls for a response. A response of humble repentance, of love and devotion, commitment and obedience. It's something that draws us closer to God. So with that understanding, let's look at the outworking of godly fear. When we approach God in this way, what starts to outwork in our life as a God-fearer? So number one is the fear of God produces wisdom. Proverbs 9:10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. The beginning. Wisdom starts with a fear of God. Step number one to gaining wisdom is to have a fear of God. So you might think, hang on, like, I know people who have wisdom, but they don't believe in God. What does that mean? I think the same thing. That's why I've put it in here. Human wisdom, I mean, I just think simply human wisdom cannot compare to God's wisdom. I think it's actually that simple. Paul, a man who wrote the majority of the New Testament, completely slams human wisdom because God's wisdom is not human wisdom. 1 Corinthians 1:25 says, for the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom. And 1 Corinthians 3:9 says, for the wisdom of this world is foolishness in God's sight. So human wisdom and godly wisdom, it seems like they have no level ground. And so that leads me to ask the question, where does my wisdom come from? Do I have a reverential fear of God? Am I in awe of God? And how does that play out in my wisdom? Have I missed a critical step? Do I have a godly fear and sincere commitment to the Word of God as a foundation for wisdom? Without fear of the Lord, can we say we have godly wisdom? Or are we simply just acting in our human wisdom? Something for you to think about, and we're going to move on. So the second outworking of the fear of God is it produces obedience. I think this is so appropriate because obedience follows wisdom. Psalm 128, verse 1 says, blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. And the Amplified Version says, blessed, happy and sheltered by God's favour is everyone who fears the Lord and worships him with obedience, who walks in his ways and lives according to his commandments. So to fear God is to obey. To have no fear of God is to rebel. We saw this in the life of Pharaoh. Fear of God leads us to an awareness of God, listening to the Holy Spirit. Wisdom. Wisdom makes us aware of truth. Truth leads us to repentance and obedience. So what good is knowing what's good and knowing what's true, but never actually walking what is good, never actually walking in what is good and true? If I have wisdom but I never act wisely, am I really wise? No, I'm a fool. And so, rightly so, obedience follows wisdom. I was talking with Andy about finances the other week, and you're probably wondering, where's Andy in this sermon? Well, he's here. He's right here. He said, I would much rather be obedient than wise, because what might not be wise in the world can still be obedience to God. Do you remember saying that? Yeah. And I just think that's an awesome attitude. And of course, Andy still desires to be wise, but wise in God's eyes, not through the world's eyes. Being obedient to Christ is wise, but it can look very foolish to the world. Are we prepared to be fools for Christ's sake? The next fruit or outworking of godly fear is blessing. Fear of God produces blessing. Proverbs 22 verse 4 says, "The reward of humility and the fear of the Lord are riches, honor, and life." Proverbs 28:14 says, "How blessed is the man who fears always, but he who hardens his heart will fall into calamity." So the fear of God brings blessing. But the fear of God only brings blessing because of the obedience that precedes it. It brings the favor of God. When you humble yourself, trust God, fear the Lord, the reward is riches, honor, and life. I mentioned at the start that I was really intrigued with the concept of fear being linked to a loving God. Because I think sometimes we can get caught up in thinking, if God is all loving, why should I fear him? So hopefully we're starting to get a bit of an understanding of what fear actually means. Like, it doesn't actually mean to be afraid of God. It means to be in awe and in wonder of God and, you know, a holy fear, a devotion, you know, what I said before. So if we don't understand what this concept of fear means, it can impact how we view God. It can impact how we view ourselves. God still is a loving Father. He just wants you to stay committed to him. Someone who has no godly fear can overcompensate the grace of God and think, you know, something like, God's the one who should be too scared to lose me, so I'm going to do whatever I want and he'll still love me. Yes, he'll still love you, but will you still love him if you live that way? Because I don't know about you guys, but when I disobey, it doesn't make me feel great and doesn't make me feel super connected to God. Jeremiah 32 verse 40 says, "I will make with them an everlasting covenant that I will not turn away from doing good to them, and I will put the fear of me in their hearts that they may not turn from me." And Psalm 85 9 says, "Surely his salvation is near to those who fear him." God wants you to fear him, because only then will you not turn away from him. You'll say yes the first time, which is salvation, and then you'll say yes and yes and yes again as you continue to walk in obedience with him and follow his teaching. A godly fear is a reverential awe of God that draws you to love and obey him even more. It's about love, and it's drawing closer to God. It is a holy fear, not a fear that cripples or separates, but a fear that honors and commits. After all, we have not been given a spirit of fear, but a spirit of freedom. God isn't going to, nor does he want to bind us up in fear. So the scriptures clearly define the fear of God as ultimately a good thing, foundational to the Christian life and essential to growth. So I guess if I can turn to a more missional side of this message, is be a God-fearer for the sake of others who aren't. sort of have this little equation here that is what we've sort of already talked about. Fear of God equals wisdom, equals obedience, equals blessing, equals question mark. Because we don't often know where our blessing will go. If it blesses others, then that blessing then goes with that person, and you never know what it might do. Sometimes we don't know the outworking of our obedience. So where will your fear of God take you? How will your obedience bless others? Because your blessing has an ongoing story. I like talking about my Coles days. I used to work at Coles in the deli, and I didn't really like it when I worked there, but since finishing up, God has sort of taught me a lot about my time there, and so now I guess I look at it with a bit of a more godly perspective. But I worked with a bunch of girls in the deli, and they were really fun, and we got along really well, and I met up with them, like, I don't know, a few months ago, and we got talking about the deli and just, you know, when I used to work there and some silly things that I did once, and just funny stuff, nothing naughty, just funny. But one girl, she started laughing, and she started laughing, and she was remembering a time when this good-looking guy came into the deli and walked up to our counter, and she was kind of like, or like, oh, hey, guys, like, look at this guy. Like, oh, who wants to serve him and that sort of thing. And afterwards was just like, I thought it was a little bit over the top. She was just like, oh, my gosh, he is so hot. And I was just like, oh, anyway. But anyway, afterwards I sort of said to them, just like, guys, like, just for me, like, I don't really like looking at guys in that way, just because it's sort of, for me, it turns them into a bit of an object. And if it was guys doing it to girls, I'd feel a little bit disrespected. And so, you know, whatever. And so this girl, you know, when we caught up just a few months ago, she was telling this story to me, and she said, yeah, that was funny. And then she said, but I definitely don't look at guys in that way as much as I did anymore, if that makes sense. I definitely don't look at guys in that way as much anymore. And while she was telling this story, I was just sort of sitting there, it's like, just trying to be godly, whatever. And then she finished off with this thing, and I was like, oh, hang on a second. No, that's pretty cool. So, you know, obedience, like, and just the fact that, like, I didn't really know that until, like, 2 years later, and, like, you know, we don't often hear the outworking of our blessing, and the outworking of our obedience. But I believe that with this girl, the decision that she's made, that she will be blessed because of her now understanding and, you know, the mold that she's taken on into her life. And it's my prayer that God will then continue to grow that blessing, and she'll find someone who will not, you know, disrespect her, and she won't disrespect them, but they'll, you know, love each other for who they are and not by what they look like, you know. And so the gift of Jesus, it's not designed to just spoil one person. It's not designed to just spoil me. God wants to spoil everyone with his love and with his goodness. The gift of Jesus becomes more joyful when we share it with others. And so the fruit of the fear of God is ultimately blessing others. In Acts 9:31, it says, the church then had peace throughout Judea, Galilee, and Samaria, and it became stronger as the believers lived in the fear of the Lord. And with the encouragement of the Holy Spirit, it also grew in numbers. So the church grew stronger as the believers lived in the fear of the Lord and with the encouragement of the Holy Spirit. Can we be God-fearers? As the church, as Christ's body, can we be God-fearers? Not only did the church grow within, you know, within themselves, but they grew in numbers. More people were added to them. And so it's ironic, and I don't use that word often, so hopefully I'm using it right, but it's ironic to think that if we want to be fearless Christians, we need to have fear, but the right type of fear. the fear of God, such commitment and faith in the truth of God's word and in his promises that we will go as far as being fools for Christ's sake. With that story that I said, like, you know, it might have looked foolish at the time and they might have just laughed, but obviously there was a seed that planted there that I was unaware of. And so even though it looked foolish, really it was a victory for Christ. It wasn't foolishness, it was victory for Christ. So I just want to encourage you, whatever God is challenging you with today, handle it with fear and handle it with a holy, godly fear. Just wondering, maybe if the worship team could come up and we'll just finish with a song. I've got another scripture, it's not on the slides, but Hebrews 12:28-29 says, "Therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, and thus let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe." So as we sing this song, let's sing No Longer Slaves. You might be thinking like, oh, now it's confusing now because we're singing this song that says no longer slaves to fear. And I'm very aware that this message is somewhat wordy and semantical. I think that's the right word in terms of we've defined a lot of words and it can get a little bit confusing. But the promises still stand and the truth still stands that we aren't slaves to fear, but we are choosing to fear a loving God and be obedient to him. And so I really hope that this message has brought some clarity to the subject for you and for your relationship with God and how you interact with others. I just want to finish with one last thought that's a little bit disconnected to what I've got to say, but Psalm 139 verse 14 says, "I am fearfully and wonderfully made." And thinking about what we've spoken about tonight and then thinking about this scripture, it's just a little thing I just want to like give God praise for, because it's like it's amazing because God made you fearfully, meaning that he made you with deep reverence and respect, with awe and affection. When he made you, he was so in awe of you that he was so careful to make you the way he wanted to. And I just think that's a really awesome thought. Lord God, we just thank you so much for this time to come and learn from your word, Lord God. Lord, we just pray that you will just be with the word as it now enters our hearts, Lord God, and continues to grow. Lord God, we pray that we'll continue to be challenged, Lord God, and ask ourselves, what do we rely on, human wisdom or godly wisdom? And where does it all come from? A fear of man or a fear of God? Lord God, we desire to have godly fear, not for the purpose of at all being afraid of you, but Lord Jesus, because we want to trust you and be obedient to you. And Lord God, we pray that as we walk in godly fear, as the church walks in godly fear, Lord God, that we'll just see an increase, Lord God, in whatever way, shape, or form that looks like, Lord, in our own lives, in numbers. Lord God, there's no reason why we can't ask for that. We want to see people blessed. We want to see people saved. And the fear of God brings us to salvation. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Just be with us tonight as we worship. In your name, amen.